Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Synonym. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, that's perfect, Cynthia.
And she belongs to the Green Party, the Green Party, and she is a candidate for President of the United States. So please, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm really thankful to have this interview, and I'm very happy to be a part of anybody who's inspiring anybody, but specifically women. I'm happy.
I had seen you a couple of years ago in a video of a debate with Daryl Chaney, and I think there were a few of the Green Party candidates in California. And I was really impressed with you. So, you know, you ran then, and, you know, I think you're running now. So tell us a little bit about what made you decide to run for president.
A gap in leadership within our party as well within our nation. And I realized that my skill base was the one that's needed. I was trained in Pablo Freire, the Brazilian educator's pedagogy of the oppressed, asking critical questions and getting others to ask questions. I'm not afraid to ask questions for us to become a more perfect union. And in terms of leadership, you have to lead by example, and I have to question myself consistently. It's been one of the most amazing growth processes just even the last 6 months being a Green by asking myself critical questions.
What questions have you asked that allow you to grow as a person?
Okay, seven. I have seven questions.
Okay.
Always, you know, this is a new year and a new decade, so I do the decade questions. What are the three lessons that I've learned from the last decade that will make this decade the best decade of my life? That's my go-to question to everybody this next 3 months. Second question is, what do I want to accomplish before I die? Third question for me is, what's preventing me from doing number two now? Why do I have to wait until I'm going to about to die to do it?
Right.
Okay. And the next question is, how does happiness appear daily in my existence?
Okay.
My next question is about happiness. Again, what role am I in happiness than anybody else in the planet? My last two are personal, but what am I doing to prohibit myself from one through five? My food, my exercise, my, you know, relationship with God, how I relate to people, those things. What am I doing that's not working? And then the last one is, what can I do today to change?
Great. So your platform, your presidential platform in the Green Party is what?
Well, we all are green. So, you know, our national platform has almost 80 pages, very thorough, money and banking, environment, gender equality. We have an extensive platform at gp.org. The main issue this is in my presidential questionnaire, that I take issue with the Green New Deal. I believe it's a reform of capitalism that's not working really well because it's not based on a, you know, ecological wisdom that we say we are as Greens. So I push green system change in its way of, you know, economics is really shaky. People run to it without asking critical questions. So I believe in green system change, which is based on ecological wisdom. So that's the main issue I take with our platform, and I've made that clear in my presidential questionnaire that I'm not supportive of the Green New Deal, but the majority of the platform, I am in with it. We need to revamp it so that it doesn't glorify colonization and imperialism that our nation was founded on. Our platform does not do a good job. They honor America as an experiment. I honor it as racist. This whole upfront is crazy. And we have to just be real and honest about how we got here and how we're going to leave here and how we're going to be a perfect union.
So you have, what's your disagreement with the Green New Deal? I mean, the Democrats kind of embraced it, right?
No, they didn't even vote for it. It's a reform of capitalism. If you're making more money, that's nice, and if you're doing green jobs, that's nice. But if it has no measurable impact on our economy in terms of not taking from the earth and having sustainability for everything we do, it's just another, you know, reform. It's no change. We really need to ask critical questions. For example, what's the value of the earth, the water, the soil, the air, everything? There's no value put on this. Everything is extraction, not, you know, regenerating or sustaining. That's a problem. Green jobs is not going to solve climate change. It's just not. Where's the measurable formula for that? I want to see it. Nobody can do it.
One issue that the Greens raised that the other two parties do not raise is student debt. What's your feeling about student debt?
We know one should pay for education from zero to doctorate. We want to be the best, and we need to be the smartest, the brightest, and doing the most research than anyone in the world. Right now, we don't even rank in the top 10 in terms of STEM. So we have an issue. We're not creating brilliant people, though we have them. We are putting more people in jail than we are through getting a doctorate. I just read a sad statistic that more foster children are going to prison than college. Something's wrong with our union if we're not producing. And we're creating debt for how many, two generations of folks who can help be our leaders in STEM. In science, something's wrong with that picture.
So your staff, do you have staff across the country?
In terms of, I have a core team. We have a core team, yes.
Okay. And do you like what you're hearing from people throughout the country? Are they responsive to your issues?
Yes, I don't know if you see that. I have over 300,000 people likes and all this stuff on Google Maps, and we have more than 5,000 people on my personal Facebook page, and we have more than 500. In terms of public engagement, my numbers, the metrics are higher for me than any other candidate. A Green Party candidate, I should say.
What inspired you to get into politics? And what inspired you to become a Green?
I was raised by two very incredibly wise Pan-African parents who my grandfather was killed by the Klans from the South. My great-grandfather purchased his wife for $300 out of slavery. I'm 58, so I'm only, you know, 50 years out of racism, that kind of civic, clear-cut, you know, whites-only signboard, drinking out of different fountains, riding on the back of the bus. So I mm-hmm. was born into a system. I was born in 62. So our nation was really making strides and change it to be one of equality for all. So I met mm-hmm. that. And I'm number 16 at the bottom of 26. So brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles and aunts who were part of that waking, big awakening for our nation. So I met it. I used to tease my father, rest in peace, that I think you talked to me about being president in the womb, because when you talk to my family members, I've been running for president since I was 3 years old. So I think I've been raised to do it because I'm not afraid to ask questions. Specifically, what brought me to the Green Party is Al Gore. Al Gore, I voted for him because of his commitment, I thought, to the environment and ending climate change. When Al Gore did not fight, stand up, run, walk, or fly to Washington, you know, after the Florida debacle, it was the first time in my life that I truly asked myself about privilege. Because I had felt a level of privilege being, you know, one who speaks languages, one who has traveled and lived abroad, one who had parents. I don't have a, you know, addiction background or any of those kind of things. I had felt genuinely as a privileged human being and a service-oriented person because of my family. But when I looked at myself in the mirror at 40 years old, it was the most stark understanding of his privilege, which is European-American male privilege, that allowed him not to be as concerned as I was about Black folks not votes not being counted. So I had to ask myself at 40 years old, I happened to be in Ghana, West Africa, what can I do different? I come with this intelligence, this understanding, and this template. Who can I help? What party can I help build so that our nation is a more perfect union? And, you know, look, my parents had been Ralph Nader supporters, you know, and I thought it was great, but I had initially thought that we could work with inside the system, but I realized it's not possible because the system is racist. It's not anti-racist. So it's going to just keep perpetuating crazy until we just deal with the honest part of what has happened to get us here. So Green Party, I thought, oh, Lord, okay, they got great values. Their platform needs some overhaul, but you know, I believe these will be decent human beings that we can build for a better nation. So I joined. Coming up in March, I'll be, I think, 19 years, a card-carrying, proud member of the U.S. Green Party, which is in 90 nations. I'm so excited.
So do you know a lot of green women Greens who are running in down-ticket races?
Well, our campaign has been the only campaign to make it part of our platform, like part of our mission, to recruit women of color to run. Because of, you know, our party is mainly not folks of color, but by the end of this decade, it'll be a brown one. So that's been our mantra from day one. I actually started with the help of our campaign team, Shirley Chisholm, People of Color Political Training Institute, to recruit, train, support women of color and people of color to run in down ticket. Just mm-hmm. launched it in November. So we're off to a slow start, but we're still doing the work.
Are you having fun?
I can't hear you well.
Are you having fun?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I have laughed more in the last 12 months than I've laughed for a while. It's really, unless the struggle is a beautiful one, why would you do it if it's not a beautiful struggle? I had a great time, met incredible people. I've learned many stories. I've been able to examine and look at myself through other lenses. Amazing. Mm-hmm. It's really been amazing. I've been able to inspire Greens and other folks to be more active in asking critical questions and training, lots of training.
I believe this is an important question. You know a lot of people throughout throughout the country. Do you think that for the most part, the accomplishments of women are not documented as much as they would be for men?
Come on, sister, yes. You and I, we had an extensive conversation about one woman that had impacted you profoundly. We are unsung, and it's up to us, do what you're doing, you know, to make it important, to make us a critical piece in every part of life, every part, not just the mother piece, not just the sister piece, but the intelligence, the thought, the wit, the charm, the beauty, the poetry, the science, everything. We are a part of everything. We're undervalued, but it's us that have to do better at it. And I'm very proud of your effort.
Thank you. Do you think that for the most part, women accept this position of being undervalued, or do you think most women fight back?
I think it's three simple things. One, in our society, self-care and self-promotion has a dirty name, on kind of a dirty stigma, but it's up mm-hmm. to us to speak truth to ourselves, because we are powerful. There's more women than men, and if we recognize that and accept that and then work on our issues as women, it would be resolved. The third thing is just do it. Look, just get up and start doing it. We can fall down, get up, but let's just do something to honor ourselves, by ourselves and for ourselves, and not always hold up the victim card. We're victorious. We still standing through all these isms. We still here, sister. That says something about us.
Right. So
I'm proud to be a woman.
So what's the most important lesson that you've learned from being in politics?
Authenticity. There's nothing that can replace who you really are. Don't cop to other people's crap because you think it's working. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You only need 15% of any population you're going after to care about what you think, to join you and move forward. Don't go after people who don't care. They're naysayers. I think it's called the law of diffusion or something like that. I can get 15% to be on that stage between the two corporate-fronted clowns. 15%. That's all I need to get up there, and we got enough women to do that.
Great.
Green or otherwise. We're more powerful than we accept. But I accept that we are, and I just want everybody else to too. It's like, come on, we bad. Shut your mouth, like, we bad.
So you're in California.
Yes, ma'am.
California is kind of like a place where many people, I think, would like to go. You know, in your travels, what's your favorite area?
South Central Los Angeles, where I live, where I grew up. It's a melting pot of culture, of a lot of interesting ideas of development. Still, you know, one-on-one relationships happen. We know it's neighbors. But in terms of outside of the U.S., Ghana, West Africa, I would love to retire there.
Really?
It's the most stable democracy, and I love the people. This was the year of the return, 1619, last year was, rather, I'm sorry, when the folks in Virginia, you know, people kidnapped black people from Africa and brought them to America. So Ghana, West Africa, hosted what's called the Year of the Return, and it was everybody and their mama black was there, honey, this year. So it's really good that people finally understand what I've been saying for 31 years. It's awesome. It's a great place. So I'm really happy that they hosted the Year of the Return to get diasporans not just from the U.S., but from all over the world to come and see from whence we came. Ghana has the most enslavement forts in castle. So the probability that if your ancestors, you know, were not free already here in the North America, they passed some way through Ghana. So it was a really powerful experience.
So if somebody is listening to this and would like to become part of your campaign or donate some money to your campaign, how can they do that?
I have a link. I don't know if I can, I don't know how to say all those backwards little knots that they put on the PayPal link. But if you sign up with Sudan 2020 on Facebook, our Facebook group, you know, you'll get all the information about us.
So can you spell that so that people
okay,
will know?
Okay, my first name, S-E-D-I-N-A-M. So it's Sudanam 2020. We also have a website, Sudanam 2020, S-E-D-I-N-A-M, Sudanam 2020.
Okay.
And if you can't reach me on Facebook, text a sister. I'm textable.
Okay. So in our closing moments, give yourself a plug and tell people or ask people why they should vote for you.
Sisters and brothers of America and the globe, our nation and our planet are at a critical time. Since 1945, we human beings have been able to kill ourselves. So that's not a proud moment, but here we are in 2020. We have a chance to truly change this system, to stop being fearless, to stop being racist, and to pro-woman and pro-earth. The earth is the woman. So I encourage you to join the Green Party first and foremost, and you can find wherever you are in 90 nations and in the U.S. at gp.org. And then I ask you to join our campaign, Sudanam 2020. I can get 15% to be on that stage, and so we can change our nation. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. So you have been listening to Sudanam, who is running on the Green Party line. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, Women Who Inspire. So thank you so much, and
I look forward to seeing you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Kisses and hugs, everybody. Love wins. Bye from South Central.
Bye.